Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, talking to you about Our Lady of Guadalupe. In our last segment, I gave you a pitch. Ponder the possibility of going down for pilgrimage. It is so beautiful to see the young and the prolific Spanish Hispanic families there. I mean, really beautiful babies. I've never seen so many sweet little babies and beautiful little families. They look like the Holy Family, with the men or the woman holding a newborn baby and doing a penance walk on their knees with the other spouse accompanying them. The faith is beautiful down there, and the graces are abundant. So ponder the possibility of making a family pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's tremendous graces for the family. Now, we're talking about what happens. What's the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe? Well, as we mentioned in the previous segment, as part of the celebration at the Immaculate Conception, this would be December 9th of 1531, Juan Diego, en route to Mass, hears music to Tepeyac Hill, from the Tepeyac Hill. He goes up and he sees Our Blessed Mother. And these are the words recorded, probably orally transmitted and recorded before the death of Juan Diego or in the next generation. This is what he records Our Lady saying. And I quote, "Know for certain, dearest of my sons, that I am the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mary, mother of the true God, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things, who is master of heaven and earth. I ardently desire a telocalia, a sanctuary, a temple or a church, be built here for me, where I will show and offer all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to the people. I am your merciful mother, the mother of all who live united in this land and of all mankind, of all those who love me, of those who cry to me, of those who have confidence in me. Here I will hear their weeping and their sorrows and will remedy and alleviate their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. Therefore, in order to realize my intentions, go to the house of the Bishop of Mexico City and tell him that I sent you and that it is my desire to have a teocalli built here. Tell him all that you have seen and heard. Be assured that I shall be very grateful and will reward you for doing diligently what I have asked of you. Now that you have heard my words, my son, go and do everything as best as you can." Now again, my friends, I'm just recently back from a pilgrimage to Guadalupe. I can tell you firsthand, I saw grown men, young men, old men, older women, even younger children with tears in their eyes. As we stood before the tilma, or, you know, there's escalators that bring you by the miraculous image because there's so many people. It was a place of tears. Now, you can have two takes on that. One is, well, why all the sorrow? Or the other is the release, the grace of being able to accept crosses, of the miraculous intervention of Our Lady that in many cases have alleviated and eliminated great sufferings. There's been untold healing that have come there. But most of all, it's a peace of the heart to handle whatever cross God has willed that we would at least receive. It doesn't mean that God intended us to have the cross in the sense that He is the efficient cause, as we say Thomistically, but He still allowed it. And when He allows a cross, it's for a greater good. So it was a place of tears, but also a place of a profound joy. She is what she says. She is our merciful mother. She comes to our aid. She hears our woes, and she remedies and intercedes for our benefit. We had a radio show recently on Our Lady of Guadalupe, and a lady called in from the West Coast of the United States, and she talked about the miracle that happened to her son-in-law through her going and praying for the miracle. So whether it's a physical miracle or a miracle of the heart, it is a land of miracles based on a miraculous image. Well, as the events take place, Juan Diego goes to the bishop, and the bishop will not see him. And Juan Diego returns to the hill, and Our Lady is there. This is the next day. And Juan Diego says, essentially, you know, send someone with more credibility. I'm poor. The bishop's not impressed by me. You know, this message is so important. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is the heart of what Juan Diego says to Our Lady. Now, this is what Our Lady responds to Juan Diego, but she also says this to you and to me according to our vocations. She says, and I quote, "Listen to me, my dearest son, and understand that I have many servants and messengers whom I could charge with the delivery of my message. But it is altogether necessary that you should be the one to undertake this mission, and that it be through your mediation and assistance that my wish should be accomplished. I urge you to go to the bishop again tomorrow. Tell him in my name and make him fully understand my disposition, that he should undertake the erection of the Teocalli for which I ask, and repeat to him that it is I in person, the ever Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, who sends you." Now, we can feel that way in our own lives as well. This mission, this task, this vocation, this work, it's just too much for me. Many people, sadly, are running from their vocation, whether it be priesthood or religious life or marriage. This is too much. You know, G.K. Chesterton made a great line. He said, "Family life is the greatest adventure. People don't leave family life because they're bored. People leave family life because it's too much of an adventure. It's overwhelming." And yeah, the responsibilities of a husband or a wife can be overwhelming if you try to do it on your own. But if you do it with Jesus and with the endless graces that our Blessed Mother brings us, and as well the good example and intercession of St. Joseph, then family life can be a time of peace and grace and holiness. And you see in the blessing of what children are, I mean, it's an immortal blessing. Kids don't go away. It's a soul that lasts forever. And you have the privilege that God the Father gives you to help raise His images. And so every vocation has its challenges, but Our Lady says to you and to me, she is with us. She has chosen us for the vocations we presently have. We can be assured of the graces to complete it with peace and with joy and with success because of the intercession of Our Lady. Well, back to Guadalupe. In fact, Juan Diego goes back the next day and sees the bishop, and the bishop understandably says, "I need a sign. I need some indication this is authentic." I mean, this is not a bishop in the middle of the Age of Mary or the climax of the Age of Mary, which is the last part of the 90s and the beginning of the third millennium. This is back in the 16th century. You did not have a great multiplicity of apparitions. So the bishop asked for a sign. But we're going to see two things. Number one, Our Lady so respects the church that she is the one who wants a Teocalli, a sanctuary, a temple, a chapel, eventually a basilica, right, built at the place. Why? So she can get the prayer and sacramental life of the church in there. She doesn't want any possibility of an independent Marian apparition outside of the obedience to the authority of the church and the prayer and sacramental life of the church. Number two, she goes to the bishop out of respect. So even though she is the co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces and the seat of wisdom, she is the humble Virgin of Nazareth who respects proper church authority. And we're going to see in our next segment on Our Lady of Guadalupe that a miracle takes place, not just for that time, but for our time. And it's a miracle that has to continue to sow effect in our day, especially as Our Lady, the patroness of the unborn. More on the blessings of Our Lady of Guadalupe for you and me as the patroness of the Americas. Mark Miravalli with MaryCast. Thanks for being with us. God bless.